Josh Heupel got absolutely paid. Contract extension announced on Tuesday, running through January 2029, a $4 million bump up to $9 million annually. What's that mean? Where's Josh Heupel in terms of coaching salaries in the SEC and college football? But more importantly, what's this mean in terms of Tennessee football and how it's viewed nationally now? All that and more here on a Wednesday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, happy Wednesday, and welcome into Locked On Vols, your first listen each and every day. It's a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Eric Kane. You can always find me on Twitter, that's at underscore Kaner, and at Locked On Vols. Today's episode, it is brought to you in part by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to go ahead and get started. All right. Breaking news on Tuesday, VolQuest.com broke that news. Of course, I'm so happy and prideful being a part of that team. Josh Heupel, contract extension through 2029 of January. January of 2029. He goes from making $5 million in 2022 up to making $9 million annually moving forward. Josh Heupel, keep in mind, was hired making $4 million a year back in 2021, January of 2021. So he went 7-5, got $1 million pay bump to $5 million, goes 11-2 with a New Year's Six Bowl victory over Clemson in the Orange Bowl, and he moves up to making $9 million annually. We're going to react to that. It's going to kind of break down exactly what that means. All that and more here in segment number one. I had a chance to catch up with Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com, the man who broke the story. That's coming up. Comments from Brent Hubbs in segment two. And then we'll get into a little Josh Ward conversation for Ward Wednesday in segment number three. All right, so what was your instant reaction to Josh Heupel making $9 million annually now? Now, for perspective, keep in mind this is now fifth highest in the SEC. The $5 million raise, Heupel earned $4 million in 2022 under his previous contract, now takes him to fifth in the SEC in coach's salary. Nick Saban tops the list at $11.7 million. Kirby Smart, back-to-back national championships, he might get a boost here in a minute, $11.25 million. Jimbo Fisher makes $9.5 million at Texas A&M, and Brian Kelly makes $9.5 million at LSU. All right, so Nick Saban, of course, Kirby Smart, I would assume he got a pay bump after winning the national championship last year. I would assume he'll get another pay bump after winning the national championship this year. That's expected. Jimbo Fisher continues to be one of the worst coaching contracts in all of college football, making $9.5 million. And then Brian Kelly getting hired from Notre Dame. Of course, he had a very long, successful tenure at Notre Dame and, you know, put LSU in the SEC championship. Year one is the fourth highest paid coach. So Josh Heupel comes in right there at $9 million annually. That puts him on par with Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss and Mark Stoops of Kentucky, who make $9 million annually. I mentioned Jimbo Fisher being the worst coaching contract in all of college sports, right? Well, Mark Stoops has got the sweetest contract in all of college sports. If you don't know what Mark Stoops' contract is, go ahead and look that up, man. I'll tell you what, those expectations for football in Kentucky, they are overjoyed if you have a 9-win season. But hey, again, good on Mark Stoops. Billy Napier was hired to Florida at $7.4 million. South Carolina's Shane Beamer, Eli Drinkwitz of Missouri, and Auburn's Hugh Freeze are making $6.5 million. So when you saw Eli Drinkwitz, and Brent will mention this in segment two, but when you saw Eli Drinkwitz get a contract extension of making $6 million annually, you just knew that Josh Heupel was absolutely going to make some money here. Sam Pittman makes $6.2 million at Arkansas. And of course, Heupel's, you know, kind of on that level, if not above that, in terms of what Sam Pittman's done throughout his couple of years at Arkansas. And then Clark Lee, though it's not, Vanderbilt's not a public institution, it's a private school, is believed to be making $3.75 million at Vanderbilt. At least that's the time that he was hired. And Mississippi State coach, new coach, of course, taking over for the Pirate there, Zach Arnett, is making $3 million entering his first season at the helm. So that's a look at kind of what the SEC is in terms of coaching salaries. Josh Heupel, now fifth in the SEC with Lane Kiffin of Ole Miss and Mark Stoops of Kentucky, making $9 million a year. And that puts him in the top 10 overall in coaching salaries. Found an article from the Chicago. I don't know, the Chicago newspaper. For the Chicago. And this was entering the 2022 season. So keep in mind, Heupel's obviously going to be moving up, and there'll be some more movement. It's all about market reset, right? This is entering the 2022 season, 10 highest paid coaches in college football. Nick Saban up there, $11.7 million, like I said. Kirby Smart, number two at $11.25. Dabo Swinney of Clemson is number three at $10.5 million. Lincoln Riley, $10-plus million at USC. That's an estimated, again, that's an estimated mark. $10-plus million at USC would be fourth. Brian Kelly at LSU is fifth. Mel Tucker, a $9.5 million contract at Michigan State, is sixth. Ryan Day, talk about getting underpaid, $9.5 million at Ohio State. That's at seven. David Shaw, who's stepped away since, at $8.9 million. Mario Cristobal at Miami making $8 million. And then Jimbo Fisher was making $7.5 million at A&M before he got his pay increase as well. It says Lane Kiffin was making $7.5 million as well. He's got a pay increase since then, too. Jim Harbaugh is in 12 at $7.05 million, which, of course, he's got a pay increase as well. But this just kind of gives you an estimate on entering the 2022 season, who was making what and where Josh Heupel kind of stacks up there. Well, Josh Heupel, of course, out of news, broke by VolQuest.com on Tuesday afternoon, getting his contract extension through January of 2029. That's going to pay him $9 million annually, all right? That's a $4 million bump from what he made in 2022 and a $5 million bump from when he was hired in 2021. Heupel, if he were to be terminated, he would be owed 100% of his remaining salary if fired without cause before December 15th, 2025. So if Tennessee were to fire Josh Heupel, okay, they fired Jeremy Pruitt, but they fired him with cause. But if a normal firing, if you were to fire Josh Heupel before December 15th, 2025, Tennessee would be on the hook for 100% of the remaining salary. That buyout drops to 75% between 2025 and 2027. It falls to 50% after December 15th, 2027, when he's just got two more years left on that deal. So hopefully it won't come to that, but that's kind of the buyout structure according to the contract Josh Heupel signed. Got bonuses that go from $100,000 for making a bowl game to $1 million for winning the national championship. He has incentives for being in the SEC championship game, winning the Coach of the Year award, academic progress and achievements, where Tennessee finishes and the rankings there. This is from Danny White, and he put this quote in a news release Tuesday afternoon when Tennessee announced the deal about 10 minutes after we did. The results over Josh's first two seasons speak for themselves. This is Danny White speaking. He and his staff have energized both our football program and our fan base with an aggressive brand of football, a competitive culture that creates leaders and relentless approach to raising the bar every single day. Despite a brief period of dormancy, Tennessee never surrendered its status as a college football powerhouse. We just needed an innovative leader like Josh Heupel to reignite that spark. It's been fun to crash the party, but as Josh said after the Orange Bowl triumph, the best is yet to come. That is from Danny White in that press release after the news was made official by Tennessee on Tuesday afternoon. Josh Heupel was also quoted in there and saying, "I am grateful to President Boyd, Chancellor Plowman, Danny White, and Vol Nation for their tremendous support. Our staff takes great pride in representing the Power team, and it's something that we never take for granted. We will continue to work tirelessly to build a championship program that all of Vol Nation and all VFLs can be proud of. Most importantly, our players are the people who deserve all the credit for our resurgence on Rocky Top. Over the last 2 years, they believed in us and poured their energy into us every single day with their hard work, leadership, cohesiveness, and consistent habits. I am proud to be their coach," end quote from Josh Heupel. Now, what was your reaction when Tennessee paid Josh Heupel $9 million annually? I'll go ahead and tell you mine. I understand a lot of people might be saying, well, that's too high. But again, you had Eli Drinkwitz that was making $6.5 million at Missouri. You have Mark Stoops, who's making $9 million $9 million at Kentucky. You have Lane Kiffin, who's making $9 million at Ole Miss. It's just where the market goes, and Brent will talk about that here in a moment. It's you're going to be paid what you earn and where the market value is. It's just like NFL free agency. It's just like baseball free agency over the offseason. You guys know me, I'm a big Braves fan. Dansby Swanson got paid. Is Dansby Swanson worth all that money? I love Dansby Swanson. Probably not, but that's where the market value was set because a guy's ahead of him in that free agent class at his position. It just kind of is what it is. You see it recycle every year in terms of NFL quarterbacks, NFL wide receivers, all that and more. you know, you deserve what the market says you're worth, right? And Josh Heupel says that, you know, they say that he's worth $9 million, you take it. I'm also in the minority here as well. I don't think, I'll get roasted for this, I don't think college coaches are paid enough, all right? I used to be in the camp saying overpaid, yada, yada. You can make that argument for athletes and all that type of stuff, but being in this industry, being up close and seeing these guys operate, not just during football season, but during the off season, during spring practice, during the month of June, where you're hosting official visitors all month long and running prospect camps every single couple times a week, and you're going off no sleep whatsoever. Seeing these guys operate in the month of December, where you have to try to retain your roster now, you have to try to host and close out your official visitors for the class of 2023, whatever respective class you're on at that point in time. Oh yeah, and prepare for into the term finals for your team and a bowl game. And in this case, it was a New Year's Six bowl game for Tennessee and the Clemson and the Orange Bowl. Seeing how you have to schedule, literally, as a grown man, you have to schedule certain time throughout the week to see your family, to see your kids. Hey, I don't know why anybody, well, maybe I do. Maybe I have 9 million reasons why anybody would want to be a head football coach in college, or an assistant coach of that matter as well. I don't know why anybody would want to coach in college, but I think, you know, observing it up close the last couple of years and seeing how strung out these guys are and how tired they are and how hard they work, I mean, shoot, you take every single penny of what it's worth. Every single penny that is offered to you, you take it. So congrats to Josh Heupel, college football's newest $9 million man. That news was made official on Tuesday, and we'll love to hear your reactions throughout the rest of the week on what you think. Josh Heupel, if you think this is well-deserved, if this pumps you up, if you think it's overpriced, let us know at _Kaner and at Locked On Vols. And, of course, fill up this comment section here on the YouTube page. All right, let's hear from the man who broke the story. That is Brent Hodes, my boss over at BallQuest.com. Had a chance to sit down with him yesterday and get his thoughts on everything Josh Heupel and the Rays here at Tennessee. That is coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. But first, guys, the NFL playoffs are here. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sports book in America. That is FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers, join today and get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first bet of $5 or more. Just sign in at FanDuel.com/LockedOnVault. Just kidding. It's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to the point spreads to the player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same game parlay. All on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. Guys, we got college basketball going on right now. We got championship weekend and the NFL coming up this weekend. No better time to join FanDuel Sportsbook like we have here with Locked On. So don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose. That's at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of NFL. Hey everybody, thanks so much for making Locked On Balls your first listen each and every single day. Make sure to check out the brand new podcast, that's Locked On College Basketball. Everything you need to know about college basketball all in one place, plus hear from big name experts, insiders, coaches, and players. That's Locked On College Basketball. It's available on YouTube or wherever you find your podcast. All right, the big story from Tuesday, Josh Heupel, contract extension through January of 2029. Going from $5 million annually to $9 million annually. This lumps Josh Heupel up in the top 10 nationally in coaching salaries, number 5 in the SEC. It's just like recruiting rankings. You can be 5th or 6th in the SEC in recruiting rankings, but be 8 or 9 in the country. That's kind of how coaching salaries are. It just means more in the SEC, and that man, Brent Hubbs, I say that man, you can't see her. Even if you're watching on YouTube, he's not here. But the guy you're about to see and the guy you're about to hear, Brent Hubbs, says just as much. Had a chance to catch up with Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com. What does this mean for the University of Tennessee? Okay, how did this become about? How did we go from Josh Heupel making $5 to $9 million in terms of getting a pay bump? Here is what Brent Hubbs had to say just on that. Josh Heupel, the new $9 million man in college football.
Well, what's the saying in the SEC? It just means more, right? And when you look at that, Josh Heupel at $9 million is basically tied for 5th in the league in salary, lumping him in with Mark Stoops, and putting him in with Lane Kiffin, who are all trailing Brian Kelly, Kirby Smart, Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban, who are all making more than $9 million. So it's the cost of doing business. It goes up every year. With this comes more pressure, but also, I mean, there's more money out there than ever before. When you look at TV dollars, you look at the expansion of the playoffs, all of those things. And then you look at the impact that a winning football program has at the University of Tennessee. It's no surprise and should not be a shock that when Tennessee football is going well, student enrollment is up, and applications for enrollment to the University of Tennessee for next fall are up 45% from the previous year. And football success has something to do with that. Okay. And that's just, you know, athletic success is a big part of that. It's the front porch that to the university. Chancellor Dondi Plowman knows that. And that's why they worked hard to get this deal done as fast as they could get it done.
I go on to ask Brent Hubbs, was this type of bump, this again, this is $4 million from, you know, up from where he was at $5 million up to $9 million annually. Was this expected for Josh Heupel? And this kind of gets you into the conversation of, again, you know, setting that market, you are what you're worth, right? Was this expected, this type of bump for Josh Heupel going from $5 to $9 million annually? Here's what Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com, said on that.
Well, I don't know that Josh Heupel's completely comfortable with the fact that he's making $9 million a year. Now, he's not going to turn it down. Nobody would, right? But this was all done, you know, on the university side. I mean, there was not this heavy negotiation. Josh Heupel wasn't looking at other jobs. Tennessee wasn't concerned about him bolting on them or anything like this. This was being rewarded for your work. And this is where Tennessee felt like they needed to go. You know, when Missouri moved Eli Drinkwitz to over $6 million a year, you kind of knew then, hey, Josh Heupel's getting ready to get a fat raise,
yeah,
right? He's getting ready to get a big raise. But because, I mean, if Missouri is comfortable in paying Eli Drinkwitz that amount of money, that sets a standard of where you're supposed to be, right? And you see Shane Beamer go to $6 million, and you see where Sam Pittman is at. And you look at what Josh Heupel has done, the teams that he beat this year, the fact that he had Tennessee relevant nationally, and the trajectory they have been on the last 2 years. I think Tennessee felt like they had, you know, he needed to be rewarded, and he was worthy of being into this category. Otherwise, then they were going to probably be concerned about somebody else trying to call. I don't think Josh Heupel has any desire to go anywhere, but this is where the market's at, and you pay somebody market value. We talk about it all the time, Eric, in the NIL world. What's somebody worth? Well, they're worth what you'll pay them. Mm-hmm. And right now the market says you pay a guy having this kind of success through 2 years, the market says you pay, you know, this amount of money. You know, you make him middle of the pack in the SEC, essentially, or just above middle of the pack in the SEC. And that's the world we live in college athletics. It seems absurd when you think about it, right? I mean, Philip Fulmer did not make $1 million till 98. I had it in the column. All right, Johnny Majors made $310,000 when he was let go, when he was angry because he was the fifth highest paid coach in the SEC at $310,000. But you know what? As I said in the column, it doesn't feel like 98 anymore because it's not 98. And yeah, that's the world we live in. I mean, think about this. With the expansion of the playoffs, you may be hosting a playoff game in December. What's that worth to you financially on your campus? The amount of money that football is going to generate and be able to generate moving forward is great. The amount of money it's going to cost to be a highly competitive SEC top-tier caliber football program is not getting any cheaper, and it's never going to get any cheaper, Eric.
And then finally, I ask Brent Hubbs what this means for Tennessee football moving forward. I mean, you've got this investment in this guy. Okay, you're coming off an 11-win season. You are pretty much saying, hey, we're here. This is our guy. We are all in. That's kind of, this is my interpretation. I want to know what his was. What's this type of deal mean for the Tennessee football program, obviously from the university side for Heupel, but also how is this going to be perceived nationally in terms of when you look at Tennessee, when you look at Tennessee's ranks in the SEC? Here's what Brent Hubbs said on that here to conclude.
Well, I mean, I think, again, you're rewarding someone who's made Tennessee relevant beyond the logo and beyond the color of orange. You put them in a perspective. I mean, think about where they were in October when the first playoff rankings came out at number one in the country, a Heisman Trophy candidate. They beat Alabama. I mean, they game days on your campus twice. There's features on you, you know, multiple weeks during the season. The Orange Bowl, one of the highest rated television games from a rating standpoint in terms of viewership. So I think the relevance of Tennessee has always been there if you have success. And Josh Heupel's success has brought Tennessee back into that relevance. I will say, too, I mean, Tennessee's assistants are all getting a raise. Tennessee's not putting all their money into Josh Heupel, and everybody else is not getting something. Those raises have not been finalized. They will be finalized in the coming weeks. I don't think this is going to be something we're going to be hearing about in July or August. I think they're all close to being finalized and done right now. And this was led by the university side about getting it done as fast as they can and getting this done moving forward, leaving no doubt and not dragging it out months upon months like they did a year ago. But to answer your question, it says that Tennessee wants to be here to stay and that Tennessee is putting all of their eggs in the basket to be as relevant as they can in the scope of college football because of the investment they're making into their program.
Great stuff there with Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com. Appreciate his time. And I know you guys would be thrilled to hear from him, a guy that's super in the know about everything Tennessee football recruiting, really Tennessee athletics campus-wide. That is Brent Hubbs over at VolQuest.com. All right, what do you think? Josh Heupel, college football's new $9 million man. Instant reaction, I gave you some of mine. You've been seeing it on social media the last 24 hours or so, or not quite 24 hours, depending on what time you listen to this podcast. But what's your reaction? Would love to know what your reaction is. Fill those comment sections on YouTube. Shoot me a tweet, a DM, @_Kaner and @LockedOnVols, and we'll talk about it on tomorrow's show if we get some good ones. All right, coming up next, we have Ward Wednesday. Josh Ward, full disclosure, recorded this interview prior to the breaking news of Josh Heupel getting his contract extension, so we're not going to talk about that whatsoever, but still a lot of news for the University of Tennessee over the course of the last 10 days or so. We'll catch up with Josh Ward for Ward Wednesday. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. All right, guys, time to conclude a Wednesday show, but we can't have a little Wednesday conversation without talking with Josh Ward for Ward Wednesday. Josh, he is the co-host of Josh and Swain on 99.1 The Sports Animal, noon to 3 weekdays on The Sports Animal. What's up, Josh?
Eric, good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Good to see your face. How was the last 10 days or so without me?
We managed to survive. I didn't anticipate that we would, but here we are, thankfully. And yeah, a lot has happened with Tennessee football, Tennessee recruiting, and Nico and his number one ranking, and Tennessee basketball continuing to climb. So actually, things kind of went pretty well without you. So don't screw it up now that you're back.
Yeah, that's the challenge for sure. Yeah, let's talk about some of those things that went on while I was gone. First thing kind of on the checklist, you know, Taven Jackson entered the transfer portal and wasn't shocking, but that does leave Tennessee with two scholarship quarterbacks. What do you make of that situation? And obviously didn't take him long to find a landing place. He commits going back home to Indiana.
Yeah. So my reaction is Tennessee needs to go find another quarterback after the spring would be my assumption there. And we'll see this spring what the thought is with Gaston Moore, who will get an opportunity, I'm sure, and Navy Shuler's transfer to Tennessee. But even with Taven Jackson, my thought was, you probably still need to go get another quarterback. That's not a lot. And we saw last season that Tennessee was down to one scholarship quarterback by the end. So I think it's very obvious Tennessee needs to go get somebody else. And part of the pushback I received was, well, how often do you need a number three quarterback? And my first response was, well, almost a few weeks ago because you didn't have a scholarship backup. But also Tennessee's history in the last 20 years, there have been a number of occasions where Tennessee has needed a number three guy. So I think you need more depth there, and it's difficult. And finding somebody that is really proven would be a challenge. But can you find an experienced quarterback, an older guy who recognizes, you know what, maybe my place is not as a starter, but I could be at a really good program like Tennessee. And if something happens and I'm needed, it would be a really good opportunity. That's kind of, I think, what you're looking for. But, you know, Taven Jackson leaving, I don't think is a surprise. The timing maybe, but he knew what was happening with Nico coming in.
Yeah, that self-evaluation and that self-realization of kind of what you are and knowing kind of your skill set in terms of a quarterback, you know, maybe saying, all right, I know I'm not this caliber quarterback. Let me come here and be a part of something. I mean, that's few and far between. I just think that I agree with you. I mean, Tennessee would like to have another one, but I think it'd be tough. I think it'd be really tough. And what this also means is Tennessee has got to hit on a quarterback, not like Nico level, but they got to get a quarterback that's, you know, worth his salt in the 2024 class. You got to, because you're going to lose Joe Milton. Yeah. You know, next year you'll have Nico, you know, Gaston Moore, but 2024 quarterback recruiting is pretty vital now.
Yeah, and when I say go get a quarterback, I'm not saying you need to go find Spencer Sanders. I'm not saying a guy that is expected to come in and compete to be the starter. Quite the opposite, frankly. But, you know, like on our radio show, Swain mentioned a Hunter Johnson example. So an older quarterback, actually a former Tennessee commit, but he was a five-star quarterback, went to Clemson, transferred to Northwestern, then decided to transfer back to Clemson, knowing he's not going to be the starter. So somebody like that, when JT Shrout entered the transfer portal, Tennessee fans, hey, would he want to come back? So that would be the example. There are so many quarterbacks in the transfer portal. Finding a highly touted, proven quarterback, yeah, would be very difficult. But a quarterback who has scholarship qualities, I don't think should be hard at all.
You look at the quarterback of the future for Tennessee, that is Nico Iamaleava. On3 put out their final prospect rankings, and Nico comes in at number one. And, mm-hmm. you know, across the board, I mean, 247 and Rivals still have him as the number two overall prospect. On3 has him at number one. ESPN, I believe, moved him up from 32nd to, I think, 26th a couple days ago. Nonetheless, the services that take recruiting seriously have Nico up there, and On3 has him at the top. What do you say about that? Tennessee has the number one overall prospect per one recruiting service, and he's been committed to Tennessee for almost a year.
Yeah, big deal, I thought. And obviously now that he's on campus and he's going to go through spring practice, where you're rated, how you're ranked doesn't actually matter to what you will be able to do on the field. I think everybody recognizes that. But for the program and for the profile that Tennessee is trying to create and what Tennessee is trying to sell in the future, Tennessee's coaches can say, hey, we went out and signed the number one player in the country, and we have a guy that we are going to help build the program around over the next few years. And other highly touted guys are a part of this conversation, but you lead it with Nico. And he was already a big face of the class and will have the opportunity to be that with the program. But it's just an easier sell. You can say number one as opposed to a top three guy at the position. So he's very talented. He has all the skill set that we've talked about to be a great fit in this offense. And what he does on the field will ultimately determine how Nico is viewed at Tennessee. But in the meantime, as you are trying to sell recruits and players in the transfer portal, you have a tremendous record on the field, winning 11 games this past season. You have a number one player in the class from On3's rankings. The more you can put together in that sales package to recruits and to transfers, the better off you are. And right now, Tennessee has a really good package to sell.
Chatting with Josh Ward here on Award Wednesday, Locked On Vols. Josh, Gabe Judy Lolly, the eighth player from the transfer portal for the University of Tennessee, cornerback from BYU. A little bit of a pipeline there, Keenan Peely, and now Gabe Judy Lolly coming to Tennessee. What do you like about that? And then Tennessee overall through that first window, the transfer portal, losing 11, bringing in 8. How would you address Josh Heupel's performance in updating that roster?
Yeah, so starting with the addition of Gabe Judy Lolly, it's a position of need. Tennessee needs help at corner. I think everybody recognizes that. He is a veteran player, an experienced guy who I think is impressive. He was probably the best corner that BYU had. And having played in the SEC, he knows what it takes in terms of preparation and the level of competition that he will be facing. And I think that as a guy that is coming in with young talent at the position on campus, guys like Jordan Matthews, and you have Christian Conyer and Ricky Gibson, these guys that are coming in this class of defensive backs, they are going to push. So having a veteran who knows how to practice, knows how to compete, has played a lot to compete against those guys and also show them what it's going to take on the practice field is really good. I think Gabe's going to have a really good chance to be a starter in the opener when Tennessee plays Virginia. We had him on the show last week, and he was just really impressive listening to him talk about the experience that he's had in college and what he's learned about the culture and the program that Tennessee is building. And by the way, he referenced Tennessee winning at a higher level than when he was at Vanderbilt. The way the program is viewed has changed in 2 years since he was last in the SEC. So I think it was a big pickup for Tennessee, and he will have a chance to make a defensive backfield that needed to change personnel-wise look better this upcoming fall. In terms of the overall transfer class that Tennessee has put together so far, I think they've done a good job of hitting needs, needed help at linebacker. Keenan Pelley is an example of somebody that can come in and help. Omar Norman Lott to help replenish what they've lost on the defensive line helps. They need help at tackle and guard to replace Darnell Wright and Jerome Carvin. Well, they landed Carrick from Texas, who could play tackle or guard, and then getting Campbell from Miami helps with that. Thornton at wide receiver. So hitting needs, I think, has been something that Tennessee focused on going in, not just taking guys to take guys, but guys that have some experience and have shown the potential to help very quickly when they get to Tennessee. I think the Vol staff has done a good job.
Hey Josh, and finally, you look at Tennessee basketball. When I was leaving the United States a little while ago, Tennessee was losing to Kentucky. Since then, they've bounced back, had two wins on the road, shorthanded as well, Mississippi State and LSU. Moving up to number four in the country, per the AP, Julian Phillips being named SEC Freshman of the Week, and then they'll take on Georgia tonight and Texas in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. That's coming up on Saturday. What do you like about the Tennessee basketball team, how they're playing right now, and how good can this Tennessee team be? I think we can all agree they're one of the best in the country, but in the back of your mind, you still know the shortcomings here lately in March, and they'll have to prove that in that month coming up.
Yeah, the March NCAA tournament question will just hang over the team until they get there, and they're going to be there as a high seed most likely. What I like starts with the defense. To this point, Tennessee has the best defense in the country, and if you have that, you have a chance to win against anybody. I like the lineup that Tennessee used to start out against LSU this past weekend. I would look for that to continue tonight and moving forward, unless there's a reason to change it, with Josiah Jordan-James at the four, Ziegler back in the starting lineup. A question I have is point guard depth. That was a lot of minutes last week for Zakai Ziegler, 40 against Mississippi State and 37 against LSU in a blowout win. I would try to get him some time off over the next several weeks to make sure he's ready for the tournament and that he can't wear down, or at least you limit his ability to wear down, because that's a lot on Zakai Ziegler's shoulders. But with Josiah Jordan-James, you knock on wood, if he stays healthy, the lineup is just a big-time challenge for opponents with what they're able to do from a versatility standpoint. Josiah can guard different positions, takes pressure off Julian Phillips, who is improving as the season goes along. If that continues, there's another threat for opponents. And then Vescovi needs to stay healthy because he's so important for what they do shooting. So there are a lot of, well, if this happens and that happens, but I also think that applies to a lot of teams. Tennessee is one of the best teams in the country. Tennessee has a chance to be a one seed in the NCAA tournament. Those are projections right now with Tennessee as a one seed. So let's see against Texas this weekend. That'll be a huge test. Alabama's going to be a monster game within the conference in a couple of weeks. But Tennessee is one of the best teams in the country. There is no clear-cut number one. But in the conversation of best teams, Tennessee is in it.
Josh Ward, noon to 3 on the Sports Animal with VFL Jason Swain. What's coming up the rest of the week on the show?
Yeah, big lead up to the weekend. You have the game day coverage for the Lady Vols against UConn and then Tennessee against Texas on the men's side on Saturday. So huge anticipation for what Tennessee's doing in basketball. And then all the offseason talk in football plus NFL playoffs. Swain has good takes ahead of the championship game. So check that out on Josh and Swain.
Josh, appreciate it, man. We'll do it again next week.
You got it. Thank you.
Josh Ward here on Ward Wednesday. Locked On Vols every single Wednesday on the show. Appreciate him. And appreciate you guys for listening, for watching, for subscribing to the show on YouTube, and for listening, making it your first listen wherever you find your podcast. We'll do it again tomorrow, same time, same place. This is Locked On Vols.